Success Leaves Clues podcast with Robin Bailey and Al McDonald. Have you ever wondered what makes someone successful? What are they doing that's different? How do they achieve greatness? We believe that success leaves clues. In this series, we are interviewing very successful people from different walks of life to hear their stories. We'd like to remind our listeners that the views expressed in this podcast are those of our guests and not necessarily those shared by our hosts. Today's episode is sponsored by Life and Legacy Advisory Group. Discover our commitment to our clients. At Life and Legacy, building wealth, securing your family's future, giving back, and creating a lasting legacy are not just values, but a way of life. Let us guide you toward a future aligned with what matters most to you. We're also brought to you by Aria Benefits. If you're a business leader challenged with talent attraction, employee engagement, or supporting mental health, we can help. Use your benefits package as the key to unlock your workforce. Now here's your hosts, Robin Bailey and Al McDonald.
Welcome back to the Success Leaves Clues podcast. I'm your host, Robin Bailey, here once again with my fantastic co-host, Al McDonald. Now, Al happens to be my business partner as well, so I spend a lot of time not only in business, but also on the podcast. Al, we recently were in Montreal and we got to spend a lot of time together. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I hope you would say the same.
Well, of course, we're at a great conference. And now, do you mind if I share that we spent like 7 hours in the car together and sang Broadway show tunes together?
Well, it wasn't show tunes, but I will tell the audience, Al brought me back to my youth, and it was great that, you know, I haven't heard some of these songs in probably 10 or 15 years, and I still knew word for word. That's how much I used to listen to this. So to me, that was a great experience, and it brought back such great memories. So not sure that I'd want to do that drive all over again next time.
What do you say?
We're heading there, but... Well, maybe we'll see. Well, let's get back to the show because I'm really excited about today's guest. I took a chance and reached out to him and said, you've just got such an interesting story. I'd love to feature you on the podcast. And thankfully, he said yes. So joining us today is Adam Saperia. Adam is the CEO of Kix Care, Canada's only dedicated virtual pediatric care platform. With a strong background in healthcare innovation and entrepreneurship, Adam has built Kix Care to bridge a critical gap in children's healthcare by providing families with timely, trusted, and accessible pediatric services. Under his leadership, Kix Care has partnered with top pediatric professionals across Canada to deliver care that is both specialized and convenient, helping families navigate everything from everyday concerns to more complex health challenges. Adam is passionate about leveraging technology to make pediatric healthcare more equitable and efficient. He brings both business acumen and a deep sense of mission to his work, ensuring Kix Care continues to transform how families experience care while supporting the broader healthcare system. Adam, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm eager to hear more about this road trip playlist, but we can save that for another time.
Yeah, I will say there were some bare naked ladies. There are some Northern Pikes. I mean, there was some OMD. So maybe people are figuring out, okay, I can figure out where you were in your 20s and 30s there, Rob. So yes, it was a very good time. But yeah, we'll talk about that more offline. I wanted to start, Adam, because I think, like I said, it was one of the reasons why I reached out to you. You have such a great origin story, right? And it's very unique. I didn't know a heck of a lot about your space until we met and I started digging into it further. And I've had subsequent conversations and people are very, very interested in this topic. So I was hoping we could dive into it today. But maybe where we can start is, what sparked the idea for building a virtual pediatric care platform? And what gap were you trying to close at that point?
Yeah, I wish I could take credit for the idea. This was a team of physicians that during COVID recognized there was a pretty significant gap in the Canadian space. Virtual care certainly existed before the pandemic hit. And certainly when COVID hit, there was a greater uptick when it came to people accessing virtual care, when it came to companies providing virtual care. But one of the gaps that our team identified was that children weren't really being looked after properly. And we have a saying in the organization that kids aren't just tiny adults. And so, you know, the way in which care may be provided to any of us is not necessarily the best way to provide care for a child. So we had a fantastic team who saw this idea and said, how do you bring together the top pediatric experts to provide the best care to parents when they're at home with their kids or while they're traveling or How do you do it in a way that sort of provides the best outcome? And that was in 2021. And here we are now, 4 years later, with a remarkable team across the country, really providing specific care to families and their kids. Everyone from newborns all the way up to the 18th birthday. So a full spectrum of care, whether it's mental health, physical health, or just questions from parents.
Now, you're going to have to educate me here because, again, this isn't something I would have thought of naturally. I would have thought there's virtual healthcare out there. Why wouldn't you just, you know, if they're looking after me, why couldn't they look after Junior or young Sally or whoever it is? What's the difference that you guys bring to the table where we wouldn't just go to one of these virtual healthcare platforms if we have children and children that have some specific needs?
Yeah. And I think really the key comes down to the expertise of the team, whether these are pediatric nurses, pediatricians, mental health professionals. All of these individuals who have spent their career and their focus looking after kids. I'm here in Toronto, and we're lucky to be in a city with Sick Kids Hospital, which was just voted the number one children's hospital in the world. Mm-hmm. And people often talk about how they'll drive past other hospitals to get to Sick Kids when it's for their kids. And so we think about that in the same way we think about virtual care, which is being able to provide the greatest possible access to pediatric experts virtually. Again, many providers do have experience with kids. When you look at our team specifically focused on kids, it really is a different level of care, not just when it comes to urgent care issues, but mental health concerns or concerns around bullying. We hear a lot of questions around neurodivergence and ADHD and autism. So it's bringing that level of expertise to families, whether they're in downtown Toronto or in a rural area or anywhere from coast to coast. And when you talked about equity earlier, it's, you know, how do you provide access to those professionals and those experts that may not be in every single town and every single city? And so wherever you are, how do we get the best possible access to that kind of care?
Adam, I'm just a little curious. You mentioned, you know, as part of the origin story, if you will, this really maybe became front and center during COVID. And I'm going to say now that COVID's over, and we can debate about that, but have you seen, has there been continued uptake? Has there been more of a challenge around, hey, now people are going back to their regular pediatrician or their regular doctor? Or like, just what has your experience been now that that's not front and center anymore? How's the uptake been? Has there been challenges or been successes?
It's been incredibly successful. And I'll say two things to start. One is with COVID, which sort of forced people to get more comfortable with virtual care. Now there is that level of comfort, and you see a greater willingness, even past the peak of the pandemic, for people to engage with providers and be able to access those services virtually. Second of all, when it comes to kids, one of the things that came out of COVID, and it was certainly an issue before, and it was just exacerbated and highlighted by COVID, are the challenges around kids' mental health, mm-hmm. whether it's anxiety, depression. Again, these were issues before COVID, and COVID really put a spotlight onto those issues. And so there is this greater need, even past some of the most significant concerns of the pandemic, to make these services available. And then when we talk about people that are now going back in person, going back into the office, we talk about how do we support parents in the workplace. Well, when mom and dad have to be in the office now more and more frequently, taking a day off to go sit in a waiting room isn't a viable option. And so we look at moms right now, working moms with young kids, on average, are losing as much as 6 days of work per year more than their peers. We look at the availability of primary care. So over 1.5 million kids in Canada don't have access to a primary care provider. Many more who may have a primary care provider on paper, but can't see that person the same day or next day when there's a need. So what happens? Mom or dad have to take a day off of work and go drive to the urgent care clinic or drive to the emergency room and sit there. Whereas when they come onto the Kix Care platform, they're being seen in a matter of minutes. So for those parents who now do have to go back into the office and don't have the luxury of taking a day off of work, this is a remarkable solution.
Adam, can you talk maybe a little bit about how Kix Care has gone about, say, building trust? Because obviously, you know, when you're talking about healthcare and you're talking about your kids, you very much have to be able to trust the person that you're dealing with. And again, it goes back to that in person. It's probably a little bit easier to build trust in that environment, I would think. So how do you address that? And how do you address the whole technology approach of what you're doing, you know, to keep that trust front and center and build it with the parents?
Absolutely. And biggest part of trust is the expertise of our pediatric providers. So when somebody's meeting with one of our team members, whether it's a nurse or a pediatrician or a mental health expert, to be able to say, hi, I'm so-and-so. I'm a nurse. I'm licensed in the province of Ontario. Here's my background. Once you know that you're speaking to a qualified health professional, that goes a long way. And the feedback that we've gotten from parents and from families and from organizations that have offered this to their employees, word of mouth really spreads. And so when we get the kind of amazing feedback that we have from parents saying, I don't know what I would have done without this. I don't know how I would have gotten through those early years without this. The combination of the expertise and the skill set of the providers that we have, along with the feedback that we're hearing from families, is really building a reputation in the pediatric space across the country that doesn't really exist otherwise in the virtual space.
So it sounds like you're really depending largely on your people and the people that are in front of, again, the kids and the parents. How do you go about finding these good people?
And that's been an area I've spent my entire career in the healthcare space, and we're incredibly lucky here. The pediatric space, one in Canada, is a tight-knit space. So when we have providers that come on our platform and have a fantastic experience, they're talking to their colleagues, they're talking to their friends. Word is spreading. We have providers on a weekly basis that are reaching out saying, how can I get to be a part of this? So the results speak for themselves. The feedback from families is fantastic. When the provider hears feedback from one of their colleagues saying, I'm really enjoying this experience, that's the best possible endorsement that you can get. And as well for providers that are looking for opportunities to supplement, let's say, their in-person clinical responsibilities with virtual, this really allows for those additional hours to see a different kind of clientele than they would in person and build that experience.
Well, I saw when you were talking earlier, Al's eyes lit up when you spoke about SickKids Hospital, because I know SickKids is very meaningful to Al and what he does with his bike rides and trying to give back. And Al, I'd love to give you a shameless plug here, and if you could talk about it, because the more people that support that annually when you do that, I think we all know people that have benefited from SickKids. I know I have, and you're right, Adam. We are so lucky to have that here in Toronto.
Yeah, and it was amazing that you mentioned that they just got named as, you know, not just the best in Toronto or the best in Canada, but the best in the world. I read that the other day, so it was amazing. So yeah, what Robin's alluding to is every year I do part of the Great Cycle Challenge, which is to raise money for sick kids, specifically kids with cancer. So that just ended at the end of August. And a big shout out to everyone who contributed. I think I hit my second largest fundraising goal this year of the 5 years I've done it. So big shout out, and obviously a very great cause.
Absolutely. And I had a personal experience at SickKids growing up as well. So can't say enough wonderful things. And so when you look at sort of the quality of the provider that you have in an organization like that, and being able to deliver that virtually through KicksCare, that's going back to the conversation around building trust and bringing providers, that's the quality of expertise that we have on our team. And so where you'd have to, you know, wait in the emergency room and drive from wherever you're coming from to see a provider of that caliber, that's what you'd see on the KicksCare platform in a matter of minutes.
Wow, that's amazing. Adam, one of the things I kind of nerd out on when I get to talk to people like you is, because I love hearing about growth. I'm an entrepreneur myself. I find that fascinating. But I, just as fascinating, I really like to dig into challenges that you see along the way, because, you know, some are unique to your business and some are we all see. And it's always interesting to get someone else's take. But I imagine growing a health tech business is a little bit different and maybe has some additional challenges, because you're not only growing a company like we all are trying to do, but you're navigating regulations in the health space, partnerships, patient expectations, which is a little different twist to it. What's been the biggest challenge in scaling KicksCare?
I would say sort of from the early days to where we are now, really moving from what we would have originally call a direct-to-consumer model, now working with organizations, it's been a matter of establishing that trust with employers, with insurance companies, with insurance advisors. And we've done a fantastic job at that. And the feedback has really been remarkable. But really, it has taken a little bit of time to have organizations like Air Canada say, we want to roll this out to our employees. And now as we get ready to roll out the handful of different insurance companies and banks and some other really, really exciting partnerships, those types of partnerships don't come to fruition overnight. And so it's having that level of patience and determination to go through those full processes that are necessary, put in the work, prove yourself, and ultimately that hard work pays off.
Well, it's interesting you bring up, you know, insurance companies and banks. And I've been fortunate enough that I've been in this industry for a very long time, about 29 years. And it's funny, people that I started in the business with, when they stayed on the corporate side, most of them are on very high senior leadership positions now. So we kind of grew up together. So naturally, we've stayed in touch and there's friendships and there's business relationships. And I know a lot of the people who are in those positions listen to the podcast. We get DMs. So hopefully we're giving you some exposure to some people that maybe haven't thought about this yet. And they hear this great podcast and think, wow, that's something that I want to explore a little bit. And from my standpoint, a lot of clients and a lot of chief people officers and VP of people listen to this as well. So maybe we're giving them some food for thought. So I appreciate you sharing that.
Adam, I'd love to swing back a little bit to something we talked about earlier, just in terms of the wait times or the time it takes away from work or driving to see an appointment at the end of the day, all those types of things. Obviously, if something can be done like this virtually, everyone wins from a time perspective. What is your experience or your mindset around what types of things can be best solved virtually, or if you have like a number in mind of a certain number of cases, like what kind of things, if I as a parent, can I have confidence in going into a virtual care type of meeting and thinking, hey, you know what, I think this can be solved virtually versus me driving to my doctor?
Absolutely. And so today we are resolving more than 90% of cases virtually without people requiring in-person care. And that's for a number of reasons. One, I go back to the expertise of our pediatric providers who have experience in the top pediatric clinical settings across Canada. They're bringing that experience to our online platform. One of the other advantages of being able to deliver virtual care so quickly, especially when it comes to kids, is intervening early and managing those symptoms quickly. So rather than somebody who has to wait a day or two to get an appointment in person or go sit in a waiting room for X number of hours, this is care that we can deliver in a matter of minutes. And so as soon as a parent has a concern around particular symptoms, or maybe there's, you know, something brewing, they can get that addressed immediately. And so it really helps save that time in the long run where you're now getting that care instantly versus having waited 24 or 48 hours, especially in pediatrics where early intervention is so important. Talking about the waits and as well as the impact on the parents, if we look at mental health in kids, right now there's about a quarter of kids in Canada that are impacted by some sort of mental health concern. And the wait times on average for in-person care are about 9 months in different cases, depending on where you are geographically and the kind of provider that you have to see. That could be upwards of 2 years. And so when you think about not just the terrible impact that has on the child and the family waiting that long to get care, but then the downstream effect going back to the employer and speaking about the senior human resource people that are listening to this, more than half of parents have missed work because of their kids' mental health. And more than 80% of parents think about their kids' mental health while they're at work. So if you think about those absenteeism and presenteeism issues that are taking place because of kids' health, being able to deliver care quickly, virtually, and from a convenient location, whether it's home, wherever else it may be, this is a game changer, not just for the child who's in need of the care, not just for the family, but for the employer as well. This is removing significant barriers and allowing parents and guardians to be more focused and more productive at work.
Adam, what do you see as maybe some of the misconceptions about virtual healthcare and specifically with kids? What would you say are some of the misconceptions that you see and how do you overcome those?
Absolutely. What I would say is, as I mentioned, we're resolving more than 90% of cases virtually. We're also honest, and especially with the quality of providers that we have, there are situations where virtual is not appropriate and a family has to be seen in person. That's where our providers will say, you know what, in this particular case, it's time to go in person. But by checking in first, we'll also be able to give them the guidance, give them that peace of mind to say, I made the right decision by going in person. We can give them the information that's helpful to provide to, you know, that care coordinator in person or that intake nurse or whomever it may be, so they can get the process moving as fast as possible. One of the other things that we're really excited about is how we can put more technology in the hands of parents at home to address more issues. So we have a really exciting partnership with a company called Nonagon, where we're going to be introducing their N9 device, which is a 9-in-1 Health Canada approved telehealth device, where parents can take images from inside their child's ears, look in their child's throat, listen to their chest or their abdomen. All of those images and videos are going to be transmitted live to our providers. So when you think of something like an ear infection, which maybe historically you would have had to see them in person, now we have the ability to diagnose those sorts of conditions virtually and provide an even higher degree of care virtually.
Every time you give an answer, I've just got more questions, you know, floating around in my mind. I'm asking all the questions. Robin's probably eager to jump in here, but I'll ask one more. What would you say is the biggest obstacle right now? Because listen, if you were trying to make a sale to me as a parent, I'm sold. So what do you see as the biggest obstacle to like more and more families just adapting this model and just saying, of course, I would choose this first. I can't think of any downside right off the bat.
For us, I wouldn't say an obstacle, but we see as opportunity and opportunity for education. So how do we get this in the hands of more organizations, more employers to say, this is something that should be a part of our benefits package? We know that benefits are becoming more flexible. There's a greater focus on how do we provide care, not just for the employee, but for the family in all sorts of different ways. And so I see every opportunity we have to talk to somebody as a learning opportunity, as an education opportunity to say, this should be a part of the benefits package. This should be offered to your employees. This should be offered to the members in your organization so they can best look after their kids. So these are all just great chances for us to provide education. We know that once parents are on the platform, they love it. We see families using it on average 8 times a year. So once they're on, they never want to get off. It's just a matter of providing that education to organizations and employers to say, this is a tool that you absolutely need as part of your benefits package.
Okay, Robin, I'm going to shut up now.
No, you don't have to, Al. You're asking great questions. If we're up to Al, we'd probably have a 4-hour conversation here because he'd just have question after question, I'm sure. And Adam, you're part of the reason because of that. You're adding a lot of value here. That sounds like a conversation that I would love to have with you and your team because I am in the benefit space, obviously, and been doing so for a long time. And I'm having different conversations that I've ever had over the last 2 years with senior leadership. So, and you're right, benefits are becoming more personalized, more flexible. So I'm so happy to see people opening their minds to there's a different way than the traditional, here's your traditional package and here's how it looks, right? I think we'd be remiss because Al and I talked about this at length during our drive when we weren't singing, of course, to Montreal, but about AI. And I'd just love to hear from you with AI coming. I find there's two camps that are people that are just terrified and there are people that are leaning into it. But in your space, what do you see as AI coming into either help or take over? And maybe what do you see as the next big opportunity or even disruption in pediatric care over the next few years?
For sure. I mean, AI is certainly becoming prevalent in all aspects of life and healthcare especially. And there's huge opportunities in healthcare for AI to improve efficiencies, remove some of the administrative burden that providers face, and allow them to focus on care. So when I look at opportunities for us with AI, whether it's using a scribe like Tally to be able to allow providers to automatically have notes versus having to type them up, how we can use it ultimately to improve intake procedures, things like that. Ultimately, we believe in the value in connections between families and healthcare providers, and we've built this incredible team of pediatric healthcare providers. But there's opportunities really at every stage in the process to leverage AI to take away some of that administrative burden and allow providers to really focus their time on talking to families, providing care to kids, not just within KICS Care, but across the healthcare system. That's where there's just the best opportunities is to leverage AI to allow providers to do what they do best, which is provide care.
I get excited when I hear an answer like that, because you are clearly excited about AI and what the opportunities it's going to create. And that's how I'm choosing to look at things as well. I'm many years into my career, and I can't remember a time that I was more excited. And I think, Al, you'd say the same thing. We're at the point, everyone knows what's coming. Al's signature question, my favorite part of the episode. So if Adam is up for it, Al will take it away.
Yeah, and obviously I'm not going to answer the question for you, but I think everything you're doing very much addresses this question. At the same time, though, we quite often have people who will, you know, take a little bit of a different turn and maybe talk about something they're doing in their personal life. So I'll throw it at you, and I would love to hear your answer. Society grows great when old persons plant trees in whose shade they will never sit. So again, maybe it's your professional, maybe it's your personal life. What proverbial trees are you planting?
When I look at on the professional side, look at Kix Care, I think we have an incredible opportunity starting in Canada and ultimately internationally to build a platform that provides the highest possible quality of care to families and really allows them to get care quickly. And the sooner you can intervene in an issue, the better it is. The more proactive care that we can provide, the better it is. So I see this ultimately as planting a tree that's going to grow not just nationally, but internationally and allow for millions and millions of people to access care. When I think about this personally, as somebody who did have health challenges as a kid and sort of remembering what it was like to navigate that, how wonderful it would have been to have a tool like we have with Kix Care. And we hear this from a lot of individuals who are now older, who have older kids and say, I wish this existed. So when I think about what a service like Kix Care would have meant to me growing up and my family growing up, I just see such incredible opportunity to really change lives here in the sense of getting people better care faster. And that's where I see an opportunity, whether it hits, you know, one family or tens of thousands or millions, to be able to look back one day and say, here are lives that we really changed. Every single survey and piece of feedback that comes into our organization, I read myself, and they are remarkable. And when I hear stories from families of, you know, I don't know what I would have done without this. This got me through a hard time. We were able to get quicker access in a way that we wouldn't have otherwise. This is so meaningful to me. And if I can continue to hear that into the future, I'll be incredibly happy.
That is amazing. Your passion for this is coming through loud and clear, and really appreciate you sharing everything with our audience today and being a guest on the podcast. It's been great.
Yeah, it has been great. And Adam, I mean, I enjoyed our first call. I've enjoyed this podcast, and I'm certainly looking forward to future conversations. It's one of the greatest gifts this podcast has given us. You're what I call good people. So I do look forward to those future conversations. For listeners who are interested in learning more about what you're doing specifically at Kix Care, what's the best way for them to reach out?
Appreciate the kind words and look forward to us talking more, and would just encourage everybody to visit our website at kixcare.com, KIXCARE.com. And we have a lot of great information on there, especially for organizations to learn more about how this can be offered to their employees or their members.
Well, that does it for today's episode. As always, we hope you enjoyed this conversation as much as we did. If you have any questions for Al or myself, please feel free to give us a call or by joining the conversation on LinkedIn. Success leaves clues, my friends. We'll see you next time.